The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
You're listening to the PVD Cast with John Orlando.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I am your humble host and your podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 445. I hope all is well with you out there, and thank you very much for checking out this edition of the PVD Cast. Well, this past weekend, I was in Monroe, Michigan for the Monroe Comic Con, along with Tim Beisiegel from the FSF Popcast, and of course, Justin, Max, and Jason from the Three Geeks podcast. We were up there running panels for the event and got an opportunity to hang out with some really cool people. It was so neat to talk to some of the guests in our various different panels. It was also cool that we got to touch base with some old friends and even make some new ones. So overall, it was a great experience. And I'm going to release some of the footage via YouTube Shorts, rather than having a just normal episode of the PVD Cast. So you need to keep tabs on the PVD Cast social medias, whether it's Facebook, Threads, Instagram, or Twitter, as you'll see some of those wonderful experiences that I had in Monroe this past weekend. So let's talk about this episode. This episode is another one of those conversations that I had with some of the individuals from the Columbus Cartoon Coalition, C3 as the kids call it. And the man that I'm going to be talking to is a New Jersey creator named Jeremy Fuscato. Now, I know what you're saying. Wait a minute. Time out. He's from New Jersey, but C3 is based in Ohio. That's right. We're going to talk about how that ended up happening, where Jeremy met up with the folks from C3. We'll talk about his role in the anthology that just recently was produced by C3. And we'll even talk about his own project, which is a delightful comic called Amelia Enmity. And I'm really looking forward to getting his perspective on C3 coming from, I guess you could say, an outsider's point of view, even though he's not really an outsider, but he's somebody a few states away. So with that, ladies and gentlemen, before I get too far along here and forget to do so, I want to thank a proud sponsor of the PVD Cast, and of course, I'm talking about World's Greatest Comics. World's Greatest Comics is your five-star comic book store. They've got all kinds of stuff for your fandom, whether we're talking about graphic novels, toys, comic book supplies, collectibles, gold and silver, bronze and modern single issues, posters, you name it, they got it. And if they don't have it, they'll get it in stock for you. So, if you want to check out the store and you're in Central Ohio, stop by the store. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. Or if you're like Jeremy and you're in New Jersey, you could still check them out. WGComics.com is the web address, and they're pretty darn active on the Facebook page. Just search for @WGComics. All right, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, you're going to hear my conversation with Jeremy Fuscato. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for another C3 live stream. I am John Orlando. I'm your host here. I'm going to be talking to a very talented creator who is part of the C3 anthology. C stands for, I'm not going to waste any more time. Let's bring him on the screen here and we'll chat. Joining me is Jeremy Fuscato. Jeremy?
I'm doing well. Hope you didn't mind the little thing that I was doing with the camera. I was trying to see if I could move it into the other room for a second. Sorry for the spur of the moment.
Oh, no, that's all right. I thought you were showing off your awesome shirt. be honest.
Oh, no. Actually, give me a second. Ah, here we go. It's working. There we go.
All right. Hey, it's technology. It sometimes, you know, causes a little bit of frustration for all of us using technology, but that's how it goes.
Yeah, it really does.
Well, my first question for you is that you are based in New Jersey.
That is correct.
So how did you get involved with C3?
Well, during the height of the pandemic, I was looking for other groups to join at the time and other art and comic communities to join because I was on network mode at the time because I had just graduated from my master's program in May of 2021. I was looking for work, paid work at the time, and I think how it all started is the Columbus organization, the Columbus Cartoon Coalition, they followed me on Instagram. And when that happened, I actually discovered it through, I think it was one of the founding members, Mitch, I believe. Once I discovered the group on Instagram, I joined and I felt very welcomed and accepted there at the time. And I discovered they were putting together an anthology, Sydney, Kelsey, Mitch, and a couple other members of the community. And I contributed at least one comic or two at the time.
Cool. So it goes to show that, you know, folks, you don't have to physically be in a particular geographic location to be a part of an organization. And Jeremy, that was really some quick thinking, if you will, or some creative thinking to go ahead and join C3.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, let's talk a little bit about your contribution. You mentioned that you've given some contributions to the anthology before. So what's your contribution for the C stands for anthology?
My contribution for the C stands for anthology. I contributed two pages where one features an OC that I created, Amelia Enmity. It goes, C stands for cat, and it's about a cat jumping onto Amelia's head from another bookshelf and just looking at what she's reading to Amelia's annoyance. And there's another page I contributed called C stands for crystal. And C stands for crystal contains an abstract idea I have for a witch OC character that I'm thinking about one day putting to fruition for a idea for a book that I have, at least the concept and the environment.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's basically about a witch just traveling through a cave, and she sees all these unique crystals.
Okay. Yeah. You mentioned Amelia. Now, Amelia is part of your comic, correct, that you have created? In fact, the one issue that I kind of thumbed through and whatnot was Amelia's mm-hmm. Trick or Treat. So can we talk a little bit more about Amelia, like the catalyst for that character, how you went about creating that trick-or-treat comic, et cetera, et cetera?
So Amelia Enmity began as a drawing idea I had in college when I was at NIAC College. And she started out just as a goth girl, concept for a goth girl that I had. And eventually the idea evolved over time. I was trying to create something in vein of Jonan Vasquez's Squee series. I was really inspired by the art style at the time, and I tried an illustration of her in that style. Then in around 2016, 2017, I was struggling to find another comic gig at the time, and I didn't know what to do. And to my surprise, I want to phrase this carefully so that it's not accidentally exaggerated or fails across here .ni. There was a tweet thread at the time when Twitter was cool to be around by Kurt Busaic. And he was asking about people's goals for 2017. And I tweeted about the possibility of making an Amelia Enmity webcomic one day. And one day he just quote tweeted me and said, it was basically an incentive to do it, basically. So I responded to a tweet thread by Kurt Busaic back at the beginning of 2017. And encouraged me to do it. So I did it. I started out with Amelia Enmity doing a science experiment that got a lot of attention. And then I think the follow-up was her practicing telekinesis. And the next one was her going to a bookstore, et cetera, et cetera. It started out monthly in 2017, wrapped up in the midst of 2018 because I was in the thick of my, I was beginning my master's program. But then during my first year of my master's, I did create at least three more comics at the time. I'm actually planning to reprint those comics during my MFA years and selling them at future conventions.
Okay. So Amelia's still going to have more FaceTime, so to speak. You're going to continue to work on that character and those projects?
Yeah. I'm still continuing to create some Amelia Emily-based artwork. It's been a bit slow because of how things have been readjusting since the pandemic, but I'm hoping to try to create another comic in the future. I actually have a rough idea for a comic that of her that I have been keeping in the back burner for a while. I think I'm going to open that one up again and try to sell more stuff based off of that idea that I have.
Okay.
And, I've also been looking for work in the animation industry and even also in Kidlit publishing and in other comic communities as well. So another accomplishment that I did have is being able to table at C2E2, FlameCon, and Small Press Expo.
You know what? Let's talk about real quickly. I know we still need to talk some more about C stands for and the crowdfunder information, but let's talk about real quickly. You go out to conventions. You said you were at C2E2. What's some of the things that make a great convention from your point of view as being somebody that is there, that is, you know, showcasing your material, your projects? What is what's some of those things that has to happen, I guess you could say, for you to say, that was a success?
I think it's a myriad or combination of factors. I don't like to suggest that it's one factor or the other, or that it's my experience or not. I think everybody's experience is different, and each one is subjective. I think for the first level of success, that event went well, is that you're on good terms with everybody that you're tabling your neighbors with. The second success is that you made enough money to both break even and make a net profit at your table event and make enough sales. And thirdly, I think it also involves making a positive impact on the community. One example that I can think of is back in 2023, last year at Small Press Expo, I think I was in some way a participant in a bingo program for Small Press Expo that they used the cover to one of my Amelia Emity comics as like a bingo scavenger hunt type thing. And that was really nice. I was really flattered to be part of that.
You know what? Those first two, I hear a lot of creators say that, but I don't know that last one, Jeremy. I don't know if I've ever heard anybody mention doing something for the good of the community.
Yeah. I think it's always about making sure you're being a good role model, you're respecting everybody's personal points of view, you're sharing your own point of view at the table when it comes to sharing the artwork and your voice and vision, just trying to help cultivate a safe and positive environment.
Okay. Well, let's go back and talk some more about C stands for. You know, you talked about your contribution, and I guess you may have already kind of touched base on this, but why did you decide to submit some stuff to the C3 anthology?
For this year or for the previous years?
For this year.
Okay. For this year, I liked what they were trying to do, what the this year's themes anthology was trying to do. I think the reason why I submitted is because it gave me a reason to try and create some Amelia and Mini comics again. And it also gave me a reason to try to experiment with another world and another genre as well. And I think what I really like about it is that this year's theme, it has a do-it-yourself type of theme to it, where you can think of any word that starts with the letter C, as long as it gets approval by the editors. That's the most important thing. And I really do like the creativity the artists and writers are given when coming up with different pages.
Give me your best sales pitch. Why should somebody that's watching or listening to this, why should they get a copy of C Stands For?
I think the reason why people should consider getting a copy of C Stands For is because it's not just because of my involvement. It's because of everybody else's involvement. It's because of leadership of Sydney and the other editors who have helped put this anthology together. It's because Columbus Cartoon Coalition is a growing local organization. And I think we're starting to, it is starting to have a more and more national impact. More and more people are coming to visit the organization, being represented at different venues, at different events. And it's a small but steady growing community. I think the other reason why you should invest in this year is because you're helping the future of Columbus Cartoon Coalition now and in the future.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you know, as of this morning, $718 have been raised, and I'm going to run down real quickly the crowdfunder campaign. As you see right here, right below Jeremy and I, you can see we're $232 away from raising the artist page rate to $10. Right now, no matter the money raised, everyone's getting $5 for their page rate. If we get to that $950, which we will, everyone gets $10. Hopefully within a couple of days of that, $1,550 raised, everybody gets $15. And let's shoot for it, folks. By the end of the month, we want to be over that $1,550 because everyone then will get a page rate of $20. And all the funds, ladies and gentlemen, they go to, as Jeremy stated, they go to helping out independent local artists, all right? And there's so much that independent creators need. They need things to help make their art. They need physical things. They need support. They need help with different things. And C3 does that for all those individuals. So check out the crowdfunder campaign. As you can see, it's scrolling down below, tinyurl.com/. I can't keep up with it, but but it's right there, right below Jeremy and I. Jot it down. C Stands For Crowdfunder is live and is at tinyurl.com/C Stands For. See, I knew I would be able to get it eventually. But with that, let's jump back into talking a little bit about you, Jeremy. When did you realize that you really, really, really wanted to be an artist?
I think when I wanted to first become an artist, I think it was during my formative years in elementary school. I had taken a few art classes at the time. I took an art class about how to become an artist or animator. It was at Bergen Community College. And we were basically tasked with creating art in stick figures and drawings of our own. And I tried to nurture it early on. It came and went over the years. It's a printmaking mold of Homer Simpson when I was in high school at another high school program. Then I created two illustration pieces of Heath Ledger's Joker and Gerard Way from My Chemical Romance, both of which were featured at a local Bergen art show in Paramus, New Jersey. And I think that was then I wanted to become an artist. And also at the same time, I also wanted to become a writer. I wanted to write for television for a long time, and I'm still trying to break into that as well. But my art journey, I think it was this point in 2009 when I really wanted to become an artist. It was actually, I think what really clicked in was shortly before I was going to college, and I was still trying to keep it going, keep practicing. And there was a, I don't know if I'm allowed to share the name of this person yet, but he's a trusted writer of the who's worked in the animation industry. He hosted a webinar back in 2010. And I showed him my portfolio, and he encouraged me to keep going, that I was making strides. I think since then, I think that's also kept me inspired to keep trying and taking art classes at college and studying independently during my time at college. I think it was that drive to create That's what kept me making, wanting to make art and wanting to become more like my favorite artists that I watched or grew up watching or reading.
I'm going to interrupt my conversation with Jeremy for just one moment to talk to you about World's Greatest Comics. They are your one-stop shop for all your comic book related needs. They've got single issues, collections, graphic novels, toys, collectibles, hundreds upon hundreds of back issues. They got you covered for your fandom. So, if you're in the Central Ohio area, check out the store. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. Or you can check them out online. WGComics.com is their web address, and they're pretty active on the Facebook page. Just search for @WGComics. Who were some of those folks that you grew up watching and reading?
That's a good question. When I was in high school, I became accustomed to the work of Mike Mignola through the Hellboy series. I also was a huge fan of Jim Davis and Charles Saltz of Garfield and Peanuts fame. I also picked up reading Jeff Smith's own series in college. And I was also a huge fan of Scotty Young and Jendy Tartakovsky.
Okay.
There were other Disney animators that I picked up. And the biggest one I think that I was a huge fan of was James Silvani, who was illustrating Darkwing Duck back in 2010 into the mid-late 2010s at some point. I think he's moved on to another project, but it was his Darkwing Duck work that really inspired me at the time.
How would you describe your art style? Because it's you got a certain look in your, you know, drawings, and I've seen your illustrations and whatnot. So how would you describe it to somebody that has never seen your art before?
I would describe it as a combination of both cartoonish and anime style, mm-hmm. maybe. Because I've been trying to experiment with more anime, the work of Studio Ghibli and other overseas Japanese artists for a while. I just recently have been working on, you know, it's trying to emulate the style of My Adventures with Superman, which, as far as I know, the art direction for that was very inspired by Akira Toriyama and the animation team who worked on Dragon Ball, because Akira Toriyama was a huge Superman fan, and that's what inspired Dragon Ball. Yeah, I'd like to say it's still evolving, and I'm trying to experiment with other forms of both American animation, Japanese animation, and other global forms of animation as well. Just recently, I discovered a trailer for a Pakistani animated feature film. If somebody in the comment section who's watching knows what it might be called, just feel free to drop a comment. I might be able to provide some information on it later, if possible.
Speaking of your Superman, mm-hmm. how's the Supergirl sketch coming? Because I noticed on your Facebook page that you've been working kind of diligently on that Supergirl. Is it coming along all right? Is it finished? Are you still working on it?
I posted an update on Facebook, Tumblr, social media, and other places. So the line work art is over. Right now I'm trying to color it and see if I can have it ready in time to sell at either FlynnCon or Baltimore Comic Con, which is next month.
Okay. Hey, speaking of cons real quick, you know, since you're in New Jersey, what are some of the conventions that are in your general area that maybe some of the creators might take a road trip, you know, to check out some of these?
In New Jersey, there was a convention in Secaucus called East Coast Comic Con that I did table at back in 2019, but there was supposed to be another one in 2020, but it ended up being canceled due to the pandemic. And I haven't seen any updates since then. There are other New Jersey conventions. There's one coming up next month called PoochieCon, which is based actually very fairly close. It's in Teaneck, New Jersey. I'm trying to think of other conventions. There's FlynnCon, which is in New York. There's also this one I visited, I didn't table at. It's BIX. It's Brooklyn. It's like a mini comic convention in Brooklyn. I think it's called BIX. There was also another event that I actually got to visit earlier this year in Jersey City. I think it's Jersey City Comic Expo, Arts Expo. It was a Expo, based in Jersey City, a few miles away from the Liberty Science Center, and it's fairly easy to get to from there. I think it's a 2-day mini comic event, and I don't know if it's happening again around the same time, but I would definitely still recommend it. I met a few art peers there as well, and I'm hoping one day, just throwing out there, one day I get to table there too. I know it's not a guarantee, but it'd be nice.
Well, you know, I mentioned that because, I've had conversations with some other indie creators that there's a theory that if you go to the same convention year after year after year, mm-hmm. you might run the risk of becoming stale unless you constantly have something new to present to your audience. And, I've had a couple of creators say that I try to kind of every couple of years switch it up and mm-hmm. go to different ones. You know, whether it would be one in New Jersey or one in Indiana or one in Kentucky or whatnot, to try to just see what the other conventions are like and see what the audience is for those.
I definitely agree that when you're tabling at these events, you have to bring new work. Otherwise, mm-hmm. you do run the risk of growing stale. Some of the new work that I'm bringing to involves prints that I haven't sold before, art portraits that I've been trying to sell for the past couple of months, and Drawtober sketchbooks that I just had published between the end of 2023 and earlier in 2024. I definitely think it's always about having variety. You don't just want to go to the same convention year after year. It's good that if you're invited enough times to come back, that's a good thing. But it's always important to always consider going to other conventions and venues where you might sell for the first time, places that are safe, places like say if you were invited back to C2E2 3 years later, you should definitely consider it and make sure that you have the budget to plan for the trip accordingly, and making sure that you have enough to make back in the long run for not just your table but for other expenses.
Mm-hmm.
A quick example, this more relates to the animation industry, but I remember reading an interview with Tad Stones when he used to work at Disney during the 90s. He was always talking about trying to make sure he sustained the budget for a lot of his animation production, television animated productions, so that he could make enough money back, that he had enough to pay the staff, that he had enough to be paid, and that it was enough for a greater return investment.
All right. Well, let's ask a couple more questions. I'm going to do that here, and then we're going to get to running down the crowdfunder campaign info again. But real quickly, who are some of your favorite superheroes, Jeremy?
Good question. I'd have to go to start with, Steve Rogers, Captain America.
Okay.
And I also love Peter Parker, Spider-Man. I think other new heroes that I'm starting to grow accustomed to is Spider-Gwen and Miles Morales, and Superman's another one. Also a huge fan of Batman. Even though she's not a superhero, she's more of an anti-hero, I gotta go with Harley Quinn.
Okay.
Other favorite heroes, just quickly thinking. Darkwing Duck, he was one of my favorites growing up. Then, of course, there was... I almost want to say Inspector Gadget, but he was not a superhero. He was just a cop who had gadgets.
All right, Jeremy, real quickly before we run down your social media where folks can find you and whatnot, I just want to remind folks what we're doing here. We're talking about mm-hmm. the C stands for Anthology. It is a crowdfunding campaign. It is on Crowdfunder. And again, right now, no matter how much money is raised, everyone is getting themselves $5. And then if we get to that $950, which we will, as you see right here, we are $232 away from getting to the page rate of $10. If we get to $1,550, then everyone is going to get a page rate of $15. And by the end of the month, no doubt, we're going to be way over that $1,550, and everyone's going to get $20 for their page rate. All the money goes to local artists.
Quick question, John.
If it's yes. Right,
someone in the comment section is saying for me to do the C3 hand sign. I do apologize for not knowing it. So maybe this is actually a good opportunity.
I think, yeah, it's that. There we go.
Like that?
I think you have to switch your left hand around. So, like there you go. All right, there you go.
see, this is how you do it, folks. You got there your hand like this, and you got fingers positioned like this.
All right. Again, if you can, please help us out with the crowdfunder campaign. As I said, all the money goes to the artists for whatever, you know, tabling fees, workshops, supplies, whatnot. Right now, though, let's talk about you, Jeremy, and where folks can find you on the internet. So go ahead and plug website, social media, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay. So just this year, I created a new website on a new domain. It's called www.jeremyfiscaldo.weebly.com. And I'm also on Instagram under jeremy.fiscaldo. You can also find me still on Twitter, Jeremy Fiscaldo, or Blue Sky at Jeremy Fiscaldo, or Kara at Jeremy Fiscaldo, or Tumblr at Jeremy Fiscaldo. You can also find me on Patreon at Jeremy Fiscaldo, or Ko-fi. And quick side note, I actually have a coffee shop where you can order and buy prints. You can order web comics, or actually sketchbooks and prints and postcards. And if you're interested in any stuff, I mean, it's totally optional, but feel free to reach out there if you want to get something.
And there's all your information scrolling right below us from your Tumblr, your Instagram, your webpage, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. Jeremy, thank you very much for sitting down and chatting with me. I really do appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you, John. It's glad to be here.
And with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to get on out of here. And again, you can visit pvdcast.com where you can listen to my personal podcasting project. And you can also find me on X at pvdmvp, or you can drop me a line through Facebook threads or Instagram. Just look for at pvdcast. And as I said before, I think it's time for me to get on out of here. So I'll chat at each and every one of you later.
Thank you again for having me, John.
You're welcome. Well, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. My conversation with Jeremy Fuscato, talking about his experiences with the C3 organization and, of course, his independent comic, Amelia Enmity. So it's time for me to start wrapping things up, and I'm going to let you know where you can get in touch with me if you have a question about this episode or any episode for that matter. First, you can find me on Twitter. My personal Twitter handle is at PVDMVP. You can leave me a message over on the Facebook, Instagram, or Threads accounts. Just look for at PVDcast. And if you want to be old school, you can shoot me an email, johnorlando@pvdcast.com. There's a lot of different avenues for hearing the PVDcast. So if you want to tell somebody about it, tell them that they can find it at, of course, pvdcast.com, the online home of yours truly. But it's also available through all of those major podcasting outlets. All you have to do is go to the search bar in your favorite podcasting app, put in PVDcast. Sometimes you have to put my name after it, and you should find it. And if you use one of those popular podcasting outlets or apps, please rate and review. Rating and reviewing helps me out in the algorithm. And of course, you can subscribe as well so that you never miss an episode of the PVDcast. And lastly, if you want an easier way to catch all the episodes of this great podcast, you can do that on Wednesday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time through the Facebook page. I do a little live broadcast, and I've gotten a lot of great comments recently about it. So definitely try out that avenue. I mean, you know, if it's something that's a little bit easier for you to keep tabs on. So there you go. Three different ways you can catch the PVDcast. All right, that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to get on out of here. I thank you once again for checking out the episode. And I'm going to chat with each and every one of you later. Stay righteous, stay independent, and stay safe and healthy. following has been a presentation of John Orlando Enterprises, LLC, copyright 2024.